Bonjour et merci de voler des nains rien de Phil Hendry. Du contrairement d'une altitude de 30 000 pieds. D'ailleurs, Jerry Lewis.
Phil Hendry's show here, and we're not going to have Jay Santos on tonight. My producer walked in and said, we're going to have Jay on. Jay's waiting on the line. He's with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. No, Jay will be on tomorrow evening, and we will have him talking with us about safety during the holidays tomorrow evening on our show. So let's make sure that we hold Jay over for tomorrow night. Nope, no guests tonight. Phil's going to keep on keeping on. Phil is like one of those letters you get at Christmas time. Hi, we're just eking out an existence here in the Dust Bowl. Hope your Christmas is doing well. Sincerely, the Moneys, or whatever the hell their name is, you know, the Waltons. Because that's just what we're going to do tonight, okay? Now, it's time to get into the news portion of our program, which, of course, we don't really have, but that's what I'm going to do tonight. The discovery of a distant living relative of one of the three Incan mummies found on top of an Argentine volcano is shedding light on the origin and customs of the time. Here's another story that I don't believe. Okay? So take the kid who splashed the puddle water on the teacher and the discovery of a distant relative of an Incan mummy. I ain't buying that. I ain't buying it. Well, where do you get your news, Phil? I'll get my news. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about where I get my news. Where are you getting your news, man? They go to Washington, D.C., and they find some cat who's related to a dude wrapped up in mummy cloth. 500 years old. They say the guy they found in Washington, D.C. is a distant relative to a girl sacrificed ritually 500 years ago. How do you break the news to the guy? What, did they knock on an apartment door someplace? Yeah, bud? Yeah. Say, look at some chick we found wrapped in a... She's mummied up, man. What about it? I guess she's your cousin or something. The hell are you guys talking about? We got to bring you in for questioning. You know her? What do you mean, do I know her 500 years ago, man? I don't even know where Argentina is. The Peruvian relative now living in the Washington, D.C. area was matched through DNA tests, which showed the individual and a girl ritually sacrificed 500 years ago could have had a common ancestor 100 years before her death. You know what the name of this guy is, who the distant relative? Bob Turner. Now they seem to believe, through tests and DNA evidence, that the first African slave brought to America was a guy by the name of Frank Jessup. So, well, how do the black folks have names like O'Hara, Smith, and Brown? That was their name when they left Africa. Al Brown was on the ship, and he came over and he settled here. The first African slave, a guy by the name of Frank Jessup and his pal Al Brown, and they settled in South Carolina, and they're great guys. Well, at least the descendants, they're not around anymore, as far as I know. So now they find a distant relative of this Incan mummy. He's Frank Turner, and he's living up in Washington, D.C. Yo, Frank, that's another story I ain't buying. I ain't buying this. How did they get that? Where did they? I don't know what they're doing, man. There's a lot of guys, a lot of time on their hand. On their hand, I said one hand. I don't know what the other one's doing. They got a lot of time on one hand, and who knows and who wants to know what the other hand's doing. So you see what I'm saying? That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's just the whole thing, man's going to pay TV. And by the way, we aren't taking any phone calls of the show from people who want to tell me how wonderful I am. Of course, we don't take any phone calls from anybody who wants to tell me what a piece of crap radio show I got either. So it's sort of equal opportunity not getting on the air. Just thought I'd let you know, because it's one of the rules, standing rule of this show, we don't take what I suppose you could crudely call ass-kissing calls. You know, as ponderous as it can sound, me monologuing for 3 hours, which I happen to think it sounds fantastic, but you may have a different opinion. It's even worse, we're taking these calls from people who think I just sound so fantastic. We don't do that. We try to spare the rest of the audience that crap. Guy calling up and saying, you know, I got to tell you, you're just, it's the most marvelous, I'll tell you something, Phil, in all my years listening to the radio, you are the sweetest, you've got the nicest looking ass that I've ever. You know, we don't do that. Here on a Phil Hendry show. Some of these cats, man, to go 3 hours taking nothing but calls from people kissing ass. You know what? I would rather just twist slowly, ever so slowly in the wind. I'd rather go ahead and have them just open a hatch underneath me, man. That's the end of it, Sheriff. Go ahead. Send me on up that dusty trail or down, whichever the case may be. I'm done. All right, Billy. There we go. So getting back to the whole idea of the fever and the fact that so many people in the 19th century were telling the postman, the milkman, the sheriff, whoever, to get the hell away from the front door, we got the fever in here. And all that diphtheria, man, they had some cool diseases back in the 19th century. They were throwing their kids down wells because the diseases were so bad. Seriously, I mean, I don't mean to be cruel, but you know what they were doing because of the families, the kids that had diphtheria? They were just taking their kids and throwing them down wells and drowning them in the lake. Really? They would take five kids and toss them into a lake. And I was telling my wife the other day, I said, it's not a bad idea. I mean, you know, just a couple of problems we might have. You just pitch it. Okay, she didn't want to go for it. She's got the typhoid in here. Look like she got the typhoid. Take the young one, toss her in the lake. Throw it down the well. That's what they did. I didn't make this world, man. I'm just reporting on it. I'm Phil Hendry, your reporter. Kid got sick in those days. You think they hung around, man, putting hot compresses or whatever the hell it was on their neck? No, they threw them out in the well. Rickets, throw her out. Kids who were sick, they didn't mess with. If you know anything about history, that's why if you look at paintings from the Middle Ages, you don't see kids. You don't ever see a painting of a baby. Never, ever. You see the Christ child, they did that all over the place. You should have seen this Louvre we went into in Paris. Oh, man, the corniest crap you ever saw. And I say corny, I'm talking about El Greco. You ever heard of El Greco? Well, they used to commission these great painters. Al Greco, yeah, the kicker for the Houston Oilers. Well, he was also Al Greco. El Greco, this dude was painting. And anyway, he had a bunch of these creeps that would commission his paintings, and these guys would put themselves in the paintings. They'd pay him, say, put me in a painting. You should have seen some of the losers that were commissioning these paintings in those days. In any event, where was I? I was talking about kids getting tossed in a well, and I can't remember now. You got the scurvy, you better hide or you're going in the well. Why was I talking about the Louvre? So we went into the Louvre, and I'm standing there, and I said something. I don't know. Some kid was scurvy. I forget now. Old painting. Oh, yeah. Anyway, I was talking about you can't see babies in paintings. You see that Jesus all over the place. Middle Ages, they had a real thing for Jesus, and that was the popular art of the day. So they had paintings of the Christ child, paintings of the Christ hanging on the cross. Man, they had him in every stage of, well, actually, they only had him as a kid and dangling from a cross. That was it. The poor guy, they really couldn't get any other rendering of his life but that. Those are the only other pictures you see of a kid. There were no pictures of kids from the 13th to the 14th. No teen-year pictures. No teen-year pictures of Jesus that I could remember anyway. There was one real, well, like a hot rod scene, and that was it. No, they had no pictures of no kids. You want to know why? Because the kids were dead. Until they hit about 7 or 8. Then you start seeing pictures of kids. Like little kids following their father, little kid following, you know, walking with a dog. You know, like an 8, 9, 10-year-old little boy or little girl. Then you see that. You see no pictures of babies. You want to know why? Because they were tossing them down a well, throwing them out in the lake, or they were croaking from all those diseases they had back then. They were far less sentimental then than we are today over kids. And frankly, I think it was a far healthier state of affairs. What they did is they said, hey, look, kid, you know, you can survive. It's a beautiful thing. We'll have you over for supper. We'll have you for next Thanksgiving, all right? Until such time, you are on your own, my man. And so you didn't have a lot of that mollycoddling. You didn't have a lot of the... They had no SUVs back in the 13th century, as far as I know. There wasn't any Lamaze class going on. No natural childbirth. You came into the world. You started crying. They told you to shut up. They gave you one warning. You kept on crying. They'd smack it right out of you. That was the way it was. That's the way it's got to be again. As Firesign Theater said, forward into the past. It's Phil Hendry's show here, 1-800-449-8686. Don't worry, we'll take a phone call sooner or later, as soon as I can remember to get over to that. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry's show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Los Angeles, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, so there was a painting of a young kid, gimpy-looking kid in the Louvre. It was like a 12, 14-year-old-looking boy with a humpback and kind of retarded, half-retarded-looking face.
Well, wait a second, I think I saw that.
He was holding a gun perched on his shoulder.
Yeah, he's barefoot, and he has a he's got like a shotgun. He's going hunting with a dog. Is there a dog? But he's got a got a smile on his face.
He's kind of good, but a goofy looking.
He's
smile.
He's like, kind of goofy looking. Yeah, I think that kid though is almost like teenage. Like he's 12 or 13 or 14.
Yeah, 12, 14. We had our picture taken in front of it. We all sort of made our retarded face and had our picture taken in front of it.
Swell. A group of Americans in front of a painting in the Louvre making a retardo face, and all the French are very glad that they made the decision that they made all these many years ago to characterize us as assholes.
We're representing
as in the United States of anus. Huh?
We're representing the country well.
Well, why not? You know what? You could go over there, eat with a fork and spoon, and carry a scented handkerchief and dunk pound cake, and they'd still think you're a clod.
Yeah.
They'd still hate your guts. I remember the one you're talking about, though.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, pal, thanks. There's a painting there of a kid who, and they say in the, you know, when you get your little headset and you take your guided tour,
here is a picture of a retarded kid. Notice the gimped club foot.
And it's a kind of a wild-looking number. I don't know who painted it, but it is. It's of a boy who's, you know, mentally a little... Because they make that point. They say so.
El Greco painted this during his ass period, and we don't know anything else about it. Move on to the next painting, will you?
And it shows the kid. He's got a little crutch, and he's got a... And he's wielding one of those large, funneled elephant guns. You know those big turkey guns with the big funneled thing? Looks like a, you know what I'm talking about, those cartoon guns. He's got one of those. But other than that, but like I said, he's about 12, 13 years of age. But you ain't going to see no kids because they didn't have any kids. You have a baby back in those days, you carry it around in a sack, and if the thing lived more than 4 or 5 years, you say, oh, okay, you can come out of the sack now. Kids are so infrequent that you know which one he was, I knew exactly which one he was talking about. Yeah, in the whole Louvre. Because there ain't none. Only Jesus. Baby Jesus, grown-up Jesus. God, you know, you get transported to that time. You think, boy, this was a... And they made the point. They said, in the Middle Ages, in the 14th century, the only thing that people said mattered. Okay, this is, again, popular... The popular spin as opposed to what's really going on, right? Some things never change. The popular spin as opposed to what's going on. The popular spin, for instance, is that everybody watched Seinfeld. What's really going on? Just enough clowns watch Seinfeld to make it the number one viewed network television show in history, but everybody else was spinning around looking at Discovery Channel and Classic Sports Network, and there were a few guys there on the Operation Channel, and a couple of guys were there in Insect World. I mean, it wasn't the only thing people were watching. So back then, the popular concept was that you had to go to heaven, and that the only really valuable life was the afterlife. And so, nothing but paintings of Jesus, and nothing but paintings of baby Jesus, and nothing but paintings of Mary, and oh God, they agonized. Some of those paintings, they got paintings of the people who are just agonizing over Jesus, and this was the way these cats were buying their way into heaven, making these paintings, man, and they commissioned these things so that they'd show. Like, I'll give you an example. Suppose Crozier and I were really, really wealthy and we wanted to get to heaven. We'd hire El Greco to paint he and I taking Jesus down from the cross. There'd be two guys who look exactly like us helping Jesus down from the cross. Exactly. It would look just like you. You know, you'd be wearing, you know, whatever, your Doc Martens, and I'm there in a pair of jeans, and we're taking him down from the cross because you would commission these artists to do this. Yeah, you know, I'm wearing a shirt, I got the tattoo, whatever. Oh, no shirts? Yeah, bathing suits, baggies, something fat, fat pants, no shirts, and a pack of Marlboros in my pocket, and I'm helping Jesus down from the cross. Flip-flops. Contemporary painting. That's what they do. So you look at these paintings, you go, who the hell is that? And the guy would say, well, that's supposed to be St. Peter, but since they really don't know what the hell he looks like, that's actually the guy that commissioned the painting. That guy's name is Ed Rothko or something, and he lives over the hill in Venice. And that guy there is another guy. These are all rich guys from the village who hired the artist to paint this painting of Jesus laying there in a cave just before he busted out, you know, busted that rock out and went up to heaven. And all these cats that are standing around are supposed to be the apostles, but actually they're the city council. So you talk about twisting history. So like in 100 years or 300 years, you're walking through the Louvre and you see, you know, Mike Crozier standing there in flip-flops with a pair of Marlboros and a pair of fat pants helping Jesus down from the cross. Those people are going to go, wow, is that St. Peter? No, it's Crozier, you idiot, but I'm not going to be around to straighten him out. It's Crozier, I'm telling you. Wow, that must be the angel. No, it's the guy I worked with him. Are you kidding me? St. Crow. But that's the whole trip. You know, it's like everything else. I told you about the trip to Paris. I mean, we walked out of there not digging it at all. And God, when we got to the Mona Stinkin' Lisa, how many of those people figured out that when you take a flash of the Mona Lisa, it's behind glass, it's just going to come out one big flashed glass? You ain't going to see no Mona Lisa. The people standing in front of that thing getting their pictures taken in front of it. Schaefer's telling me that he's hired some guy and he put him in the painting as one of Satan's henchmen. Nice going. You'd look like that. So anyway, that was our big trip. That's the only thing that I learned about that, that there ain't no kids and no paintings over there, only that one kid walking around with a crutch and a gimped-out leg. Looked like Tiny Tim. That's the kid they put in a painting, some kid with a club foot. Check it out. What's that tell you? They couldn't stand kids back then. That's the one part of that era that I actually appreciate. Because none of them were around. And the one kid that they found that was around that they seemed to kind of relate to, some poor kid that's retarded with a club foot. You know what, kid? I'm going to paint you. Stand still. Stand still, man. You are looking good. No, stand still. Use the crutch if you have to, but stand still. Jeez, the kid keeps toppling over. Use that gun as a crutch. Oh, it went off. Sorry, kid. That bad leg ain't the only problem you got, huh? Kidding. Phil Henry Show here, our number 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos on tomorrow night. We'll have a show for you tomorrow night, okay? And don't forget, we're signing CDs December the 18th, noon at Rock Honda in Fontana. That's noon, December the 18th at Rock Honda in Fontana. The best of the Phil Henry Show CD. Communism is neat.
Per aver scelto di volare con Phil Henry Air. Voleremo ad un'altitudine di 30.000 piedi e cappuccino. Il volo di stasera offrirà Al Pacino.
For hookers and courtesans. I mean, all of those nudes, all of those Rubenesque nudes, all of those cheesecake shots by cheesecake, you know, the pictures of like the farm girl with the blouse is kind of down. And by the way, you know, I don't want to hit this one too hard, but let's just get right to the point. Yeah, right, with the right butt cheek exposed. These were all hookers or courtesans, and the courtesans were the mistresses of the very educated and moneyed men of the day, and they were allowed into libraries. They were allowed everywhere because they needed to be able to communicate with the men that they were sleeping with. Now, you'll notice they didn't let the wives in because the wives didn't need to communicate with the men that they were sleeping with. The wives were just wives. They were wives. They were mothers. Shut up. Shave your head bald. Have no eyebrows, and we'll immortalize you in a painting. Some slob's going to come over, honey, and paint you tomorrow. You know those pictures of those women? You go to those galleries and you see those medieval women with the really funny look, weird looking faces. Real strange, you know. They shave their heads bald, they put on some kind of a wild wig, and they no eyebrows. It's either those really wealthy no-eyebrowed women or the fat hookers. Those are the only ones. Middle-class chicks, forget it. By the way, anybody heard of this movie Girl Interrupted? Maria's reading a book. It's about some girl who went into a nut house in the late 1960s. She wrote a book about it. It's called Girl Interrupted, about a young woman who went into some famous nut house back east. One of the people who was in this nut house was Diane Arbus. As long as we're talking about, you know, women in the arts, Diane Arbus was a photographer. She was a brilliant photographer. She photographed people. I guess you could say she photographed people at their worst, but actually she photographed people at their most interesting. She'd photograph, like, strippers wearing no makeup in the harsh light of a makeup table, things like that. She's a great photographer, but she was, you know, she wasn't doing too good. I mean, mentally she was sick. She photographed her own suicide. She photographed her own suicide. Now, I don't know if anybody has that picture, but I'd pay big money. I'm kidding. I'd sure like to see a copy of that. Forget it. But she did. I guess she propped the camera up, put it on motor drive, either took a gun, I don't know how she did it, and just boom, did it in. She was really brilliant. Not that she killed herself. That didn't make her brilliant. But the picture she took, I don't know what it is, tortured artist. The pictures she took were really, really interesting, really fascinating. And there's another great artist, if you want to know about a terrific photographer, her name is Cindy Sherman. Go and get her stuff. Go get a coffee table book of Cindy Sherman stuff. It'll blow your freaking mind. Speaking of medieval paintings, Cindy Sherman would make herself up to look like a medieval artist or a medieval painting of a man, you know, with the long, curly wig, and she'd have on the, and then she'd have her blouse open with her breasts hanging out. So she'd paint herself up to look like Christopher Columbus with boobs just hanging right out of her blouse, stuff like that. Another one, she had herself in an evening gown and she's leaning against a mantelpiece. It's a very beautiful low-cut gown, and she's got on her hair's all made up, and she's sort of tilted to the side there, and she's wearing a pig face. Really interesting. Anyway, how did we get on that? And I was talking about bald-headed women with no eyebrows. Oh, yeah, automatically I got off at a Cindy Sherman. So anyway, all those chicks you're seeing, the most immortalized women in the world, they were the hookers. Those are the ones that are hanging in the Louvre. Get a load of that. Ain't that life? Man, I love that. You talk about everything comes around full circle, baby. What goes around comes around. You think you're going to live forever? Guess who's hanging in the freaking Louvre? Guess whose butt cheek is just hanging out in the Louvre? Some hooker from 1521. And, you know, Count What's-His-Face had the countess posing with the bald head and the no eyebrows for days on end so the guy could get it right. Even painted that little mole on the cheek. And somebody set fire to that thing. Who cares, man? They ate their dinner on that. But some hooker, you know, with the rear end hanging out, she's hanging in the Louvre. So there's hope for you yet, Shafe. That's the crap that lasts forever, man. Nudes. Did you guys ever see Sleeper, where Woody Allen is smoking the cigarette and they find out like 300 years in the future that cigarettes are good for you? And the guy says, take the cigarette, hurry, quick. And he says, oh, my God, I come from a period where we thought cigarettes would kill you. No, cigarettes are good for you. I'll bet you in about 100 years they're going to discover porn. They're going to discover and look at adult films in a whole new light, and it'll be considered some of the finest art ever rendered in the history of man. Out of all the crap that we put down as not being artistic, what's at the very bottom of the barrel? Come on, I tell you, I dare you. All these self-important jackasses running around with their whatever the hell it is that they're trying to do, man, whether it's music, whether it's rap, whether, you know, I'll bet you in 100 years what they're really going to call the greatest that the 20th century had, looking back from the perspective of time, we now know, of course, that lesbian lingerie party was one of the fine. I mean, oh, man, it was just, it's great what they did. The lighting, everything was fantastic. And these people are dead now? If only we had them, if only we talked to them. I would have appreciated if I was living in those days, but those barbarians, they didn't understand what family heat was all about. And Helga Sven, one of the finest actresses in 100 years, that's what it's going to be. Peter North, they're going to have a statue of him hanging in the Louvre. What do you want to bet? Because that's the way life is. You think you know? Forget it, man. Don't they say that art that survives, the real art that survives, is the most popular art? Isn't that true? If that's the case, if Beethoven survived simply because everybody loved his music, if Mozart has survived because everybody loved his music, not because it was good. Who knows what good is? It's relative. It's because everybody dug it. Then the same is going to have to be said of Debbie Does Freakin' Dallas and Deep Throat, man. Those are two of the largest grossing films in the history of man on this planet. Didn't Deep Throat, make more money than Gone with the Wind? I think it did. Deep Throat has made well, not Gone with the Wind, I shouldn't say. Deep Throat has made more money than E.T. I'm pretty sure. I'd bet money on that. And if that is the case, Deep Throat in 100 years will be uncovered in some guy's attic. They'll dust it off. They'll take it over the Smithsonian. Guys with monocles and goatees will look at it anew, spring a couple of pup tents, walk outside and go, by God, that's fantastic. I mean, a paper will be published, the New England Journal of Medicine. A whole bunch of guys with pup tents will be walking out of a conference hall, scratching their head, going off to get coffee because they have seen the future of the cinema, and it was 100 years ago that Debbie Does Dallas. And where are these great people? Where are the people that created Deep Throat? They're going to have a statue to Linda freaking Lovelace, Harry Reams, you know, the whole thing. It's going to be a great thing. Everybody laughs. How could we possibly do that, Phil? I know you're making a joke. You're stretching the truth to make a point. No, I'm being very, very literal. Because we know how it is. We know that, you know, Van Gogh had to cut his damn ear off. That guy died in a hayloft someplace, right? Did that guy make any money? No. Edgar Allan Poe, this dude is staggering home at night. He's got a vial of opium under one arm. You know, these guys were all very, very unrecognized in their lifetime. So it is sometimes, and so it is for the adult film industry. Ron Jeremy. You name it, these people will be considered perhaps, not saying for sure, but perhaps the finest representation of their age. Everybody thinks they know, they don't know. I'm looking at life, man, the way life changes around me. Some of the people, I don't know. Look at this town. You know how much this town has changed from the time I was a kid? I don't even recognize this town anymore. L.A., man, I mean, this place is full of all kinds of people. I know that everybody comes from all kinds of places to come here. They're from all over the country, all over the world. This place is more crowded. It's a lot more varied. I remember when I first got back here in 78, I met my first Arab. That was the first convenience store experience I had with the stereotypical East Indian. Before that, man, there were no cats like that running convenience stores. Now, 1978, boom, there was my first one. First guy from Saudi Arabia. That's fine. The city had changed that much. Now, 9 years later, what am I running into now? Arcadia is nothing but Asian Americans. And I got Schaefer sitting in here, who's all of 28 years of age, talking to me about how great Geddy Lee is. Tell me that ain't, you know, some kind of a scary culture shock. So that's the way life is. That's the way life changes. That's the way it's got to be, I guess, man. Time moves on. All those bald-headed women with no eyebrows and all those fat hookers. And, of course, they're not just hanging in the Louvre. They're hanging over there in the North Woods Inn. You walk in any restaurant, any place in, just go into any place that wants to recreate the great life of the great white North in Canada. You got some big, fat, Rubenesque woman there hanging on a while you're ordering up your steak. There was a time when fat women ruled. God, would it just happen again? I'd love it. There was a time in this country when a fat woman could walk down the street and get some respect. You know what I read today, by the way? Mae West was a man. I read that today. Mae West was a man. John Wayne apparently said that to somebody. I forget who. How he knew, I don't know. What's her name? Yeah, Mae West was a guy.
Wasn't John Wayne on the USC football team?
John Wayne was on the USC football team, yeah. What's that got to do with anything? No, Clara Bow was on the USC football team? What the hell are you telling me? Oh, Clara Bow did the whole USC football team? Well, good for her, supposedly. It wasn't Mae West? Anyway, according to John Wayne, Mae was a guy. And Clara Bow did the whole USC football team. It's a great world, ain't it? Since I'm telling you, okay, there was a time a fat woman could walk down the street, and not anymore. You know, I thought for a minute there that skinny thing was going to go out with the dishwater. I really thought that we'd had enough of skinny women. And guys like me could really start to revel in enjoying a more Rubenesque, if you will, a more fleshed-out woman. Nah, it ain't going to happen, okay? That thin-to-win thing is still cranking along. Skinny. These clowns that are buying into that. Twenty-first century is going to be all different. Ain't going to be no movie stars. Ain't going to be no skinny women. going to have a whole lot of math and science majors, a lot of big, fat chicks walking around, and Peter North, Ron Jeremy, all those people, they all finally get their due. Big time, big money, hung in the Louvre. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. On the Phil Henry Show. Well, too late to give the phone number out now. Oh, I'll give it out anyway. 1-800-449-8686. Call them up. They might have a cure for a common cold there. Influenza rife throughout this radio station. I'm sure others that were on. We got a lot of people out sick. They ain't taking care of themselves. We got the fever in here. Phil Henry, isn't that the guy that does all those funny voices? Well, not tonight, baby. We had some stuff we wanted to get off our chest, and that's just the way it's going to be. You see, I'm not just somebody's trained freaking monkey on a rope with a tin cup in my hand, although I may look like one, and from time to time act like one. But now and again, I got a kick. Every now and again, I'm going to coast. How about that? I'm going to do what the rest of the world does, man. Every now and again, I'm going to come into work and just coast. So tomorrow night, we'll have Jay Santos on from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We'll also have on Mavis Leonard to talk about midwifing. That's back. That's right. Midwifing is back. You won't want to miss that. She'll be rapping about that, and we'll do some other things for you. A reminder, on Saturday the 18th of December at 12 noon, we're at Rock Honda in Fontana for the initial signing of the Best of the Phil Henry Show 1999 CD, Communism is Neat. We'll have live entertainment. Arizona Ice Tea will be there. All of the proceeds from the sale of our CD, and I mean all of the proceeds, $20 for each CD, go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Los Angeles. We'll be out there to sign the CD if you'd like, personalize it if you'd like. We'll take some pictures. Whatever you'd like me to do, I'd be very happy to do it, so long as you come out and pick up the CD. Remember, it's going to a worthwhile cause. That'll be on Saturday the 18th. And as long as I have the dates, I'll let you know where we'll be on the 23rd. GameWorks at the Block in Orange. That's off the 5 freeway and the 22 at City Drive, the Best of the Henry Show CD. It'll be our second CD signing, and that'll be at 11 p.m. Christmas Eve Eve, Thursday, December the 23rd, at GameWorks at the Block in Orange. Off the 5 and the 22 at City Drive, for only $20, you get the CD. And that, of course, as I say, goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. They do great work. They've helped kids for 10 years. They don't get any federal funding. They get all of their money from private benefactors. And sometime next week, we will be up and running for online sales as well. We'll have, as I said, live entertainment at our live signings. And hopefully we'll do business online as well. Pretty good business online for you guys who want to buy the CD and you don't want to come out to a signing. For those of you who don't live in the Southern California area and would like to buy the Best of the Phil Henry Show 99 CD. And I even think we got some 98s hanging around too. So those might go as well. Great people, my friend's place, helping kids. I love them. What can I tell you? I'm getting a little misty-eyed now, the whole idea. Yeah, they're good people. They picked me up off the street when I needed it. So that's it. I wouldn't mind going downstairs and warming up my car. Anybody. Suddenly I can't feel my legs. I'm Phil Henry. I have no feeling in my legs. Good night, everyone.
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. How many people cried, but it's too late to say you're sorry. Please don't buy.